So the second in our series of the women in Jesus' family line, if you were here last week, you heard an amazing saucy little story about Tamar. And today is another saucy little story for you with the story of Rahab. These are not women that you expect to find in Jesus' family line. What is remarkable is that Matthew recorded them there for us to know who these women are. They're not just to be hidden in the background and covered up like a skeleton in the closet. These women have real face stories, and that's why they're written there, because there must be something for us to learn. So let's begin with a prayer and see what God wants to teach us today. Lord God, we thank you so much for recording these stories of these women in Jesus' family line in the Bible. Thank you for the story of Rahab. We look forward to hearing what you want to say to us today through this message. Give us open hearts and open minds to hear what you're saying, Lord. Have your way in us and teach us more of your ways. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So Rahab the prostitute, that's what she's called all through the scriptures. You know, I don't know if I would like to be called Rahab or even, you know, Tanya the prostitute if I did that in my past, which I didn't. But could you imagine living with that label for the rest of your life? I think she's the only one basically in the whole of scriptures that is labelled right through the whole Bible as the prostitute. She doesn't even get Rahab mentioned in Joshua 6. It's just go to the prostitute's house. So here she is, she's a woman of the night. She has a career, she has some other jobs that she does, which I'll tell you about in a minute. But first, let us set a little bit of context for Rahab. Now, the first part of her name, the R-A, is the name of an Egyptian god. So she's from a pagan city, she's a pagan, she's a Canaanite, and she lives in Jericho. Now, the Israelites have camped over the other side of the Jordan River, and they had been wandering around in the wilderness after about 40 years because, you know, when Moses sent spies out into the land, all of the Israelites came back. The Israelite spies come back and afraid. The only ones that were, like, strong and courageous were Caleb and Joseph, and they wanted to conquer the cities, but everyone else was afraid. And as it turned out, the Israelites had to wander around in the desert for another 40 years. Meantime, by this time, Moses has died. Joshua is the new leader of the people, and he decides to send out two spies to Jericho. Check it out. We're going to conquer this city. God has given us the land. So these two spies go across to Jericho, sneak in, and could be quite inconspicuous. You'd think so, with all the other people going in and out of the city. And they end up just going to Rahab's house, which is near the gate. She's a well-known prostitute. No one should really notice her, you know, these men going in there. That's a perfectly good place to go, especially if it was an inn. Some commentators say it was an inn as well, which is totally acceptable. So there they are, thinking that they would just, you know, blend in and look inconspicuous. But someone notices. And so someone goes to the king and says, hey, there is some spies in Jericho from Israel. They're checking us out, and they went into Rahab's house. So here's Rahab's house, maybe, and some of the king's men knock on Rahab's door. And so before we get into the story further, is it okay ever to tell a little white lie? Yes, no, I don't know. Not really? Okay. Well, Rahab tells a little white lie, and we'll find out why in a minute. But she just says to these men knocking on the door, hey, there's Israelite spies in the city. We know they came here. You know, send them out to us. And she says, well, they were here. I didn't know where they were from, but, you know, they've moved on now. And if you go out quickly, you'll be able to catch them. I don't know which way they went, but go now, quick. And so they, you know, probably could have checked the house. Maybe they did, maybe they didn't. But these men were hiding under flax on the roof. So Rahab had hidden them under this flax on the roof. So that's sort of something what it would look like. You can imagine, you know, some men laying under there, all covered up, not moving in case they were caught out. And in fact, the flax shows that Rahab wasn't just a prostitute. She's probably drying that out to make linen. So she had a few, you know, more respectable jobs as well, if she was running an inn and drying flax, making linen. But, you know, it's good to have variety in your work. So there's these men up on the roof, hiding under the flax. The men, I don't know if they look or not, but they go out and look for these men, and the gates of the city are shut at this point. No one can go in or out. They are in shutdown till these men are found. And so Rahab then goes up onto the roof, and this is the exciting part of the story. This is the part I love. Listen to this. She said, before the spies lay down for the night, she went up on the roof and said to them, I know that the Lord, that's L-O-R-D in capital letters, so she's using the name of Yahweh, the name that God gave Moses at the burning bush. I am who I am. She's using the real name of God. She wouldn't have known him. She's a pagan, a Canaanite, worshipping foreign gods, which they did in that town and that city, but she knows who the Lord is, and she calls him by name, the Lord. I know that the Lord has given you this land, and that a great fear of you has fallen on us, so that all who live in this country are melting in fear because of you. We have heard how the Lord, capital letters, Yahweh, dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when you came out of Egypt, and what you did to the kings of Sihon and Og, the kings of the Amorites east of the Jordan, who you completely destroyed. When we heard of it, our hearts melted. We are so full of fear, and everyone's courage has failed because of you, for the Lord your God is God of heaven above and of earth below. She could recognize the Lord. She could have been a temple prostitute. We don't know, in the temples of foreign gods. But she knew who the Lord was. She'd heard about him, and she wanted to be associated with him. So she says, now then, please swear to me by the Lord, your Lord, that you will show kindness to me and my family because I have shown kindness to you. I've chosen to be associated with you. I've chosen to lie to my own king and his men and reject my own people because I choose to be associated with you and your God. This is a choice I'm making. It could have cost her life for what she did. But she's saying, I will go to this length for you, and I want you to show kindness to me. Give me a sure sign that you will spare the lives of my father and my mother and my brothers and sisters and all who belong to them, that you'll save us from death. Isn't that beautiful? She didn't know the Lord, but she'd heard of him. And she said, I want to be associated with your God and your people, and I want you to save me. I want your blood covering, which is what happens next. So I'll put the next slide up. And the men say, our lives for your lives. The men answered her, if you don't tell what we're doing, we will treat you kindly and faithfully when the Lord gives us this land. And so she let them down by a rope from the window. And just before they went off, they said to her, this oath you made us swear will not be binding on us unless when we enter the land you have tied this scarlet cord in the window through which you let us down. And unless you've brought your parents and your family into the house, if they go out of the house, their blood will be on their own heads, but if they're in your house, their blood will be on our heads. But you must have this scarlet cord hanging from the window to be saved. Now, there's a real reference there to the Passover, to the blood covering over the doorpost when the people left Egypt. And, of course, that represents Jesus' blood. We come to Christ. We are saved by Jesus' blood, what he shed for us. Same as Passover. The Passover lamb covered the house door frame. And if the angel of death just went past the houses that were covered with the blood. Rahab, if she's got this red cord hanging out her window, again representing salvation, she will be saved because she's acted in faith to hang this there. In the way that she acted in faith to help the spies, she's acting in faith to hang the cord in faith that she will be spared, that she'll be saved from that day of destruction when Jericho came tumbling down. Now, if you know the story, go to chapter 6. Joshua did, the spies went back to Joshua with a good report saying, yeah, it's ours, God's given it to us, let's go. And so they went and they marched around Jericho once on the first day, once on the second day, once on the third, fourth and fifth day, sixth day, on the seventh day, they walked around seven times. I read it this morning. Is that right? I don't know. Yeah, okay. And then it came tumbling down. So except Rahab's house, because all her family was gathered in there. And if we have the next slide up, this is all her family. There was heaps of them. And so it's a great family pic. So all gathered. And they were saved. They weren't destroyed because the spies were faithful to their word. And God was faithful. And do you know what they did? They took Rahab and her family and took her and led her camp just outside of the Israelites' camp over the other side of the river. So they just, you know, took all her family, set up a camp for her and said, you're safe here. But do you know what? We know that she didn't stay outside that city for long because soon enough she was part of the people of God. And she married a guy called Salmon. Rumour has it he was one of the spies. We don't know, but, you know, that's all the gossip. So one of these Israelites married Rahab the prostitute, and she was well known, like it's already in the scriptures. She's already known as a prostitute, but she became a legitimate bride and became part of the family of God. Isn't that awesome? Because God cares about prostitutes. He loves them. I'm reminded of a girlfriend I went to primary school with. Her name starts with R-A-H-R-A as well, like her, someone like that Egyptian god. And I just think of her because I met up with her about 20 years ago and she told me that's her profession. She's a prostitute and it grosses me out a bit. I don't know how she lets all those men touch her. But my heart goes out to her. But I know her story. Her dad was abusive. It was a horrific childhood growing up. And she just had really hard time, you know, in her childhood years. You don't know why people turn to what they do as a profession. But God loves her just the same. And God loves liars too. Rahab lied to spare those spies. I don't know if it's right or wrong. She's not commended for her lying. She's not commended for her prostitution. But she is commended for her faith because she acted in faith to save the spies. She acted in faith hanging out that rope. And she acted in faith because she had faith in the God of Israel. She is saved the same way we all are. We are saved by faith. So it doesn't matter what we've done or what we do or what shame we carry or what guilt we carry around. Through faith in Jesus Christ and the blood covering of his, he died for our sins so we can be forgiven, we can be redeemed, we can become legitimate children of God and brides of Christ. We are the bride of Christ. All of this is an illustration. This dear woman who is a Canaanite is in the ancestry of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Jewish blood. You know, salvation will come through the Jews. But Tamar, who you heard about last week, Canaanite. Rahab, Canaanite. Already God is showing us that Gentiles belong in his family, that he has a plan for people no matter who they are. There is nobody outside of his grace. There is nobody that cannot come into the kingdom of God and be part of his family and become part of the bride of Christ. And so today I want to encourage us, if we know any Rahabs, if we know anyone who we think, you know, is maybe a little bit, does things that we don't respect or don't admire about them, love them anyway, go out and seek them. God, that wasn't by accident that God sent those spies to Rahab's house. And she's part of the lineage of Jesus Christ. I love this. It gets even better. So Salmon, the father of Boaz, he's going to come up next week, whose mother was Rahab. Boaz, the father of Obed, whose mother was Ruth. So next week we're going on to Ruth, the third woman in Jesus' family line. It's another story because she is not a Jew either. But Jesus writes them into his story, just like he writes us into his story. And there is grace enough for everyone, and we're all saved by faith, yeah? Faith, equal ground. So let me go on a little bit further to Hebrews chapter 11. In the hall of fame of people of faith, here we've got listed, we've got Moses, we've got Noah, and we've got, by faith, the prostitute Rahab, because she welcomed the spies, was not killed along with all those who were disobedient. What more shall we say? I don't have time to go on and tell you about Gideon, Barak, Samson, David, Samuel, the prophets. But all these people are in the great cloud of witnesses which cause us to run the race before us. Chapter 12 says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders, the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. Just like Rahab set her eyes on the Lord, Yahweh, and becoming part of his people, that too ought to inspire us to set our eyes on Jesus and run the race before us, throwing off all that hinders for one good purpose, to be part of the family of God, the bride of Christ. Amen. Lord be with you.